The Alberta government recently announced that it's developing a new drug strategy. Included in this strategy will be legislation to protect children living in homes where there is illegal drug activity. Parents who expose their children to illegal drugs may face new criminal charges and lose custody rights, according to government information on the proposed legislation. Joining me to discuss possible concerns with the legislation is Jennifer Koshin. Jennifer is a law professor at the University of Calgary, and we've reached her at her home in Calgary. Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning.
What do you know about the legislation that's being put forward?
Well, so far, let me say that this is still in abstract kind of detail. There hasn't been any actual legislation that has been introduced. So my information comes from ministry officials and so on. But what I've heard them say they're planning to do is to create a new law that will allow government officials to apprehend children from homes where there's drug activity going on, as well as to create new charges in relation to parents who expose their children to that sort of drug activity.
And has it been clear what kind of drug activity this is?
My understanding is that they're talking about four different kinds of activity: trafficking, drug use, grow operations, and then specific reference has been made to meth houses, but my guess would be that they would probably talk more broadly about homes where perhaps trade or use of drugs may be going on.
Do existing laws fail to protect children from neglect or abuse in homes where there is illegal drug activity?
Well, no, and I think that's one of the most interesting things about this proposal, and it's one of the things that the government is going to have to address, because we already have child welfare legislation in the province. In Alberta, that's the Child, Youth, and Family Enhancement Act. And that legislation allows the government to intervene whenever children are in need of protection. And children are said to be in need of protection when they're either subjected to physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, or when they're neglected. And drug use is actually specifically mentioned in the legislation as being one of the ways in which children can be neglected or emotionally injured and then in need of protection. Now, that legislation just refers to drug abuse and not the other sorts of things that we've been talking about, like trafficking or grow-ops and so on. But I personally think that the current child welfare legislation is broad enough to cover emotional injury that may come out of those sorts of activities as well. So it does make me wonder why we need new legislation when we seem to have something in place already that would do the job.
And that was my next question, is why would the government want to create these new laws if children are already protected?
Yeah, and I think that's something they're going to have to answer. It could be that their interpretation of the law is that it does need to be more specific. But then, again, I would wonder why they wouldn't just amend the child welfare legislation to include more specific examples of the ways in which children can be in harm and in need of protection. So the fact that they're choosing not to do it that way leads me to believe that perhaps they are going to be creating powers in this new legislation that are extraordinary compared to the child welfare legislation. And I guess that's where these charges that they're talking about come into play, because that's certainly not something that's currently covered in the Child Welfare Act.
Can a province go ahead and create new criminal offenses independent of the federal government?
No, it's the way that the Canadian system works in terms of constitutional law is that powers are divided between the federal government and the provincial government, and it's the federal government that has jurisdiction over criminal law. Now, the provinces can still create charges where those charges are there as a way of enforcing matters that are otherwise within provincial jurisdiction. So a good example of that would be highway traffic offenses. It's the province who has jurisdiction over the highways, and you know, we all know that we can get speeding tickets and those sorts of things, so that there are offenses that the province can create. But it's a really fine line between what is an acceptable offense on the part of the province and when they've crossed that line into the territory of the federal government. And if, in fact, the new legislation does include charges for exposing children to drug activity, I think that that the law would likely be constitutionally challenged.
And has the federal government said anything about this?
Not as far as I've heard, no. And I mean, the interesting thing is that it not only the federal government could challenge the law, but someone charged under the law could also challenge it as being contrary to the Constitution.
And so if the law itself is unconstitutional, then it can't be applied?
Exactly.
Okay. Could this type of legislation, depending on how it's worded or applied, violate existing parental rights?
Yeah, and that's another way in which the Constitution comes into play here, because we also have the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms that creates certain parental rights, like liberty and security of the person as far as one's dealings with one's children are concerned. And so there have been past challenges to child welfare legislation on the basis that they violate those parental rights. Now, no rights are absolute under the Charter, and it is open to the government to place reasonable limits on people's rights, particularly when they're doing so to protect others. And so past challenges to child welfare legislation haven't been successful on the basis that they are seeking to protect children in a way that's reasonable. So I think what will be interesting with the new law is whether the government has struck that reasonable balance between the rights of parents and the interests and rights of children. And again, if they're going to be going beyond the sorts of powers that currently exist in Alberta's child welfare legislation, I think that will be another area where we may see a constitutional challenge.
And so would it depend on interpretation of whether there is real dangers to children from certain drug activity?
Yeah, I think that's what's going to be key, is whether there is a real need for protection of children, and also just the powers that are given to government to seize children. You know, do they have to give notice to the parents that they're coming in? Does the parent have an opportunity to kind of make their case and present their arguments and so on? So there could be procedural concerns with the legislation as well as more substantive concerns.
Child Civil Services Minister Heather Forsyth has talked about the success of the Protection of Children Involved in Prostitution Act in relation to the proposed illegal drug legislation. Can you explain the Child Prostitution Act?
Yeah, it's called the Protection of Children Involved in Prostitution Act, and what that legislation does is allow the government to apprehend youth who are involved in prostitution and to keep them in care for a period of time, usually 5 days, but then there can be increases of the amount of time that they're apprehended and in care. And the whole idea behind it was to try and get youth off the streets and help them to clean out or get away from the control of their pimp or whatever. So that legislation was subjected to constitutional challenge as well. Unsuccessfully in Alberta, although there were some amendments made to the law as a result of the constitutional challenge to create better procedural protections.
And are there similarities between that act and the proposed legislation?
I mean, I think there are some similarities in the sense that they both relate to the apprehension of youth, but the big difference, I think, is that in the prostitution legislation, there really isn't any infringement on parental rights, because typically the government's interventions would be towards children who were out there on their own in any event and not being apprehended from their parents. So I think that's one main difference between the prostitution law and the law related to drug use and activity. The other difference, I think, is in terms of the offenses that we hear are going to be created in relation to endangering children endangering children through exposure to drugs, and that's something that sets the legislation apart as well.
What problems are there with putting children in protective custody?
Well, I mean, that's a very difficult issue, and I think whenever the government is called upon to intervene, there's a number of different sort of balancing acts that it has to do. And on the one hand, there's the importance of the family and the integrity of the family unit and so on. But on the other hand, there are concerns about the safety of children. And so whenever the government is going in and intervening, they've made that judgment call that the safety of the children is somehow at risk. The difficulty, I guess, is, though, that we hear stories all the time about how the government's care itself ends up often placing children in a really difficult position. So while they're trying to protect children and take them away from issues that may be going on in the family home, the foster care system has also had some problems attached with it. And, you know, we hear all sorts of cases of physical and sexual abuse and so on, and of children being moved from one placement to another, and, you know, culturally inappropriate placements and that sort of thing. So I think there are some real risks that children face when they are going to be removed from their family, although staying in the family may be difficult too, so it is a real balancing act.
Are there concerns that specific communities may be targeted by new legislation?
I haven't heard any groups specifically come out and state their concerns about the proposed law, but I do think, to the extent that certain groups are already under surveillance by the state, and I guess I'm talking about people who've already been criminalized, those people may be at higher risk of being prosecuted under the legislation. And when we think about who it is that tends to be criminalized, it's often people who are racialized and people who are poor. And, you know, that doesn't mean that those people are necessarily involved in this activity any more than others are, but because they're already sort of targeted by the state and have been involved often with criminal proceedings, those may be the people who the government is going to be watching under the new law.
Is anyone organizing to potentially challenge the new legislation?
Not so far as I've heard. It will probably... groups are probably thinking about this, I would guess, and waiting to see what the law looks like before they spring into action. But I wouldn't be surprised if that happens once the legislation is introduced.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me this morning.
You're very welcome.
I've been speaking with Jennifer Koshin. Jennifer is a law professor at the University of Calgary.